Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So we are going to be getting into some more questions. I feel like the last Q&A went very well. We had a huge response in terms of people sending us questions and DMs. And so I just really appreciate everyone's support and constant feedback and just questions that you have. We always like to address items that you maybe have questions on. And so today we're going to be hitting a couple of sensitive type of topics. Some things that, you know, aren't talked about a whole lot in the bodybuilding world openly. And we just want to make sure that our listeners, you know, have the resources and the right knowledge and steps to go about keeping their bodies healthy and to also be successful on stage. But before we get into those topics and questions and answers, we wanted to talk about the last 7 days. So do you want to go first or do you want me?
I feel like every podcast, it's like an update about my moving situation. So we've officially got everything to North Carolina. It's just a matter of getting things settled. It's been a little bit crazy just getting the workday done and then trying to unpack and get acclimated into a new environment and new routine. But we will be traveling back up the East Coast for Thanksgiving, hitting a couple spots to visit family. And I also have an athlete competing. So there will be a lot to do this week, but that's basically where my focus has been.
Yeah. And just so our listeners know, what show is that and what day and all that?
Sure. So Friday, she will be competing in the wellness category at the Ben Wielder of a Pro AM. So that show all years prior has taken place in Canada. This is the first year that it will be in the United States. So it'll be in Alexandria, Virginia. So it's a drug tested event where you can win your pro card. So for the wellness category specifically, I know the overall is how you win that place card, but I haven't been to a national show that's been drug tested, so it'll be exciting to see who shows up, and I'm excited that it's in the U.S.
Yeah, that's super exciting, and I know that that's the only opportunity for pros as well to get an Olympia qualification being drug tested as well.
Yes.
But this will be the first year they do the amateur, so before it was just a pro, and now it's an AM. So
yeah,
pretty exciting. I'm excited for you with that. So yeah, my last 7 days has been really exciting too. I just got back from Iowa, and I wanted to say shout out to our listeners for coming up and taking pictures, giving hugs, and giving us your feedback. So we always love that. It warms our hearts when you introduce yourself and kind of tell your story. So I really appreciate those of you listeners that came up to me at the show. I shared all of that with Chris. So it always keeps our fire going. We want to keep doing this podcast when we hear things like one of the athletes had mentioned that we were the first podcast she listened to, and then she actually is now a bikini pro. So that was pretty cool. So we were back in Iowa, and my two athletes, it was my one athlete's first time ever. She got all first place in all of her categories. And then it was back-to-back peak weeks for my other athlete, and she had just done the show in California the previous weekend, and then she ended up winning the overall. So she was the winner of Class F. It was really exciting. My other athlete who was doing the makeup, Sam, she had won the overall there last year, so it was kind of cool. They're friends,
That's
and
sweet.
They're from California, so it was really a really neat kind of full circle that Sam's journey had inspired Aaron, and then she ended up taking, you know, the title that Sam had gotten the previous year. So it was pretty fun. And I just wanted to, before we get into the topic of, you know, we kind of are already a little bit segueing into a lot of the questions that we've gotten recently that are very sensitive topics. And that's, you know, when is the right time to consider performance enhancing drugs and different supplements like SARMs and things like that. And I just wanted to, I was just talking with Chris right before we hopped on, and every overall champion that I've had, even in figure, fitness, bikini, they all were 100% natural. And we always like to squeeze out every ounce of genetic potential that an athlete has before we even talk about, you know, supplements and blood work and things like that. Because, you know, both these athletes that perform so well, they got first in every category. They just started prepping with me like in July and August, and they'd never done shows before. So we, you know, worked on their nutrition, cleaning things up, switched up training styles. For example, Erin, she's lost 6 inches off both of her thighs. And I attribute a lot of that to just like nutrient timing, paying attention to like fiber and tracking, having better macro ratios. But also, you know, she was doing like a lot of leg pressing and squats, and we pulled those out, put in some, you know, better movements for the bikini body, such as hip thrust and abduction work and things like that, so that she could get a shapely glute ham tie-in. And same with Lee Marie, my other client. She, you know, just started in July, and her glutes have really transformed, and same with her shoulders. And she was previously a power lifter. So, you know, you always want to tap into the nutrition side of things as your baseline. You can get a lot done there. And then also, if you have a good coach that knows what type of training format and programming you should have for your body, and where you're kind of falling short. So, I mean, the judge, I talked to them after the show, and he was like, all of her proportions were exactly on point. She had round shoulders, tight waist, good glute ham tie-in, you know. And then the other piece, too, that I think some coaches kind of don't look at this detail as much, but really if you're going for an overall and things like that, if you want to be the best, you really have to pay attention to the details of, like, the makeup, the suit, and all of that. So it was nice. Deb, our coach, she had two of her athletes in it. She is, you know, she designs custom suits at Angel Competition Bikinis. And then I had an athlete doing a bikini rental with Glam Girl Bikini Suit Rental. And that was actually your suit.
I love seeing it.
Yeah. And so we pay attention to like cut, color, connectors, all of that stuff, like their, you know, their tan being on point, their jewelry selection. We're very involved on their posing routines. And like I brought my hair and makeup, Marlin and Sam, and they, I mean, you, it's, Deb and I were kind of just like looking, and you can kind of tell who the glam girls are just by their stage look, because we make sure it's head to toe. It's not just the body, but it's the aesthetics, the posing, the suit, all of that. So I'll get off my rant about the weekend. I'm sorry. I was just very excited.
No, I think it was a great experience. I love hearing how all the girls did. And I think you bring up an interesting point. Like, if you're going to compete and you want to be the best, like, leave nothing undone. Like, really make sure that your efforts are matching the level that you're competing at, because a judge's job is to look for flaws. And if, you know, competition is tight, you don't want to be the person standing out with, you know, like sloppy posing or, you know, less of the bikini frame or the look. Like, just make sure that you cross everything off your list so you can't go back and say, man, like, I should have spent a little extra money doing X, Y, and Z, or I should have spent a little extra time doing this. You know, give it your best shot, and then from there, get the feedback to go forward. So I think that's a great, I think it's great advice for people too, especially new people getting started in the sport.
Yeah. And I think with anything, you know, especially with a national show or a pro qualifier, you really have to have like the quality hair and makeup, you know, especially if your pro card is for an overall win, you have to go professional with that. Like, do not DIY your own, even with a tan, it just, it does show up on stage that you've done it yourself at a certain level, because you don't want to stand out in a bad way with your hair, your makeup, your tan, especially if you've worked so hard and you've spent so much money and time and effort into getting your body ready. You want to make sure that all the finishing touches are there too. So
yes, well said.
Good point there. Okay, so what I wanted to kind of do here, and I know we've talked about it a little bit. We've breached the topic when we talked about building a natural pro. I think that was what the episode was called, if I'm not, you know, mistaken. So you kind of talked a little bit about your story, about how you came from Drug Tested League. Do you care to share with listeners a little bit of insight on your journey, why you chose to switch over to the MPC and now the IFBB, and kind of tell us a little bit of your background when it comes to being drug tested athlete?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I got started in a natural league because honestly, that's what my friend was doing. So when she told me we're going to do a competition together, that's the league and the show that we started competing in. So that was my first exposure to bodybuilding. And it was a very, it was good for me because it was an introductory step into learning if I even liked the sport. And at the event, they would drug test the first place winners immediately, like as soon as you received your award. They would take you backstage and do the testing. So my initial perspective on like the MPC league was that, you know, it was a bunch of people that were all doing like crazy PEDs. It was like an extreme level. It's just not something that I wanted to be a part of, and I felt like I couldn't compete in. So I did another year in the OCB, and it was at that second show that I kind of realized that my well, actually, it was Amy that pointed out that I had some advantages with my genetics that would actually be celebrated in the MPC League. So, you know, right after that, I decided, okay, I'll try a show out in the MPC. I ended up loving it. I'm just a competitive person, so I want to feel like if I'm putting in all the work and I'm making the sacrifices, that I'm going up against heavy competition. And not to say that natural leagues are not heavy competition. I think it's just a little bit different, and my body fit really well with the MPC league. So, that's kind of why, how I transitioned over, into the MPC and got my first exposure in a natural league.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting. I actually did not know that, you only got drug tested when you won. So just to give a little different story here, when I did the Natural Indiana, or at that time I think it was called Circle City, so at check-in, you know, you get your height, you get your badge, all that stuff, but you also then go to the bathroom, and there's a nurse in there, and you have to pee in front of them. That was a crazy experience. So then I had to give her my pee cup, and so that was done the night before. So before people could even compete.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they tested you, I think, so that they could just say like, oh, you're not eligible. Like you can't compete tomorrow. I don't know if they did that so they'd have like some time to do results, but I'm sure it was a lot more expensive for them because they had to test every single athlete. And then, and then it was a totally different experience at Dave Lieberman's show. That's a really big one. It's huge. I mean, his expo is like 75 booths. It's crazy how much, and these trophies are almost as tall as the person.
Wow.
So nuts. It's really big, but it's drug tested and it's called the Natural Ohio. And I did that one. And so the way they did it was you did not drug test a check-in. You checked in, you competed in pre-judging, and then I didn't know what was going on, but like, because I was very new to competing. It was my first year. It was 2012 or something like that. And I remember they like grabbed me off stage after call outs, and I got first call out. It was like a big class, and there were five of us that got called out, and then we got exited off stage, and then they're like, you need to go straight to the this room or whatever. And so then I had to pee in this room with this lady and give him my pee cup because we couldn't go anywhere. Like, we had to have an escort to make sure, like, we weren't, like, grabbing someone else's urine or something. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, we, like, had people actually watching us pee.
That's so, I have never had that done at a show. That's a unique experience.
I didn't realize that you hadn't had that same experience. I mean, there's so many weird things about bodybuilding, but that's definitely one of them.
Well, yeah. we did a lie detector test at check-in.
Okay, so you did a polygraph. Okay, there are some leaks that do that. So you OCB does the polygraph. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I remember being so nervous because I'm like, what? Because I'm just a paranoid person in general. I like hate getting in trouble. So I was like, what if he asked me a question that I don't know? And they asked me like very general questions like my name. And I was like, really, I felt like I was like stumbling over every question. I'm like, I look so guilty right now.
Christine.
So we did that the day before, but yeah, it was only the first place people that got tested right after they won their awards.
Yeah, that's
so
ridiculous. Because what do they do? Just strip you of your title?
Yeah, and like, what if you are second and then they tested positive for something?
Yeah,
how do you get your
you
first
never
place
know.
Trophy?
And you still get a trophy. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't know what was going on, like I said, but I found out later, like, all the girls were excited that we got drug tested, and I'm like, why? I was like, didn't everybody get drug tested? Because the one in Indiana, everybody got drug tested, and I was like, wait. They're like, no, only the top five got drug tested. I was like, oh, sweet. I placed in the top five. All right.
So everyone is excited to pee in a cup.
Yeah. It was like an award. Yeah. Like, woo, we made it. But anyway. Gosh. Too funny. So getting off topic, but on topic as well. So we have gotten questions, by our athletes. And so I just want to make sure that, you know, we kind of talked about HRT, a little bit with, menopause or postmenopause, females and how they can have that doctor monitored and things like that. But there are other things out there. When it comes to performance enhancement. So I just wanted to set the record straight. Some people were asking, is there much research done on SARMs? And I wanted to make sure that everyone knows that there definitely is a lot of research, and you can look into some of these studies and things like that. And if you don't know what a SARM is, it's a selective androgen receptor modulator. That was a tongue twister.
Well done.
So some things to just, be aware of is, I can get into that, but, in a second, but let me finish my first thought. So I believe am I mistaken when I say there's about 600 case studies just done on Osterine alone?
That's what I remember. That one being studied the most.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the studies have been done on males or some on rats, which we know how rodent studies can kind of be a little deceiving because it's not exactly, the same as having a human test subject. But there have been studies done on women as well, especially with Osterine. The most common one, I would say. Out of the SARMs, there are a slew of them though, and they all kind of do different things. But some things to be aware of if you are thinking about going that route, a lot of SARMs are not regulated, and so this is just kind of our public service announcement podcast. A lot of the cheaper companies, they will spike their products, and then by spiking, they're diluting it. So, it'll go for like a cheaper price. So if you're buying a SARM and it's under $100, then odds are likely that they've spiked it and diluted it with other items that could negatively affect you. So even if you know your research on SARMs, you know what they do, you know how they affect the body, most do not third-party test them. And that means that you can kind of be getting different things, and then it makes different side effects as well.
Yeah, you definitely want to be careful when you're going down this path of like what you want to utilize to, I mean, enhance your physique. I think we'll always go on the statement or the belief that, you know, full genetic potential should be reached first. That's kind of like our that's what we rely on at Glam Girl Bikini, because like Amy said, we have I turned pro as a natural athlete. We have tons of natural athletes that do amazing, so it's not our first go-to. I think if you're getting a coach that's immediately throwing things at you, just educate yourself. And then if you know you're an experienced athlete and you're thinking about, okay, do I want to try a SARM? Like Amy said, just make sure you're doing your research, that you're making sure that you are, you know, not everybody's out there to help you with your health. A lot of people, you know, it's very money driven. So, you know, I've made the mistake of, you know, trying some things that were not third party tested out of pure ignorance. So I think just being smart about your choices and making sure you communicate with your coach and do your research is like the bottom line.
Yeah, and I think with anything, again, you need to make sure you are getting regular physical checkups with your doctor, making sure your heart's healthy, getting a full metabolic panel, making sure, blood sugar, cholesterol, all these different things like your liver markers and all of that, they should be heavily monitored, especially if you're doing these, additional items, which we're not placing judgment on any of that because there's definitely a time and a place, but they need to be prescribed, and it's something that you have to consider, like where are you at in your childbearing years, especially as a female? Like, do you want to have kids? Are you ready to go to that next route? And have you kind of capped out your genetic potential, and you're doing all the things? Because even these pros and things that are taking PEDs, that are on SARMs, they are doing everything. They are training their butts off. They are keeping their nutrition consistent. They're just maybe have already hit their genetic ceiling and are using these items to recover quicker or to be able to build muscle in a deficit or to preserve as much muscle as they can, especially if they're doing multiple shows all the time and not giving themselves time to recover. So, but it's so important that you're getting these items monitored by a physician, and that if you are going to go a certain route, then you need to get them prescribed by a doctor so that you're not running into heart issues and things like that, because it can be very serious if you're you can get a lot of things off the internet.
Oh,
It's kind of scary.
yeah, you can get a lot of things off the internet.
Yeah. So, all right, let's kind of go. I feel like we had a little bit more that we wanted to kind of talk about, like when it comes to making these choices. Did you have something to add that I haven't said?
Well, I just think that, okay, so from my personal experience when I started competing, because it's like an un it's a topic that's not really talked about, sometimes I would look at like the national stage and I'd be like, I don't understand how these girls are reaching this level, because you start off so new and you can get like multiple ideas that kind of get thrown into your head, like if I want to be at a national level, like I need to do X, Y, and Z. And I don't think that that's true. I think like if anything, just making sure that you stay the course, you put in some years of like consistency with nutrition and training and working closely with your coach, like just make sure that you take your time. I think we're all worried about getting somewhere super fast. And I've had friends and other people tell me that their coach has immediately said, like, if you want to be a pro, then you need to, you know, utilize whatever. And I just don't think that that's true for everybody and making those general statements. So, like, we always talk about on this podcast, like, everybody's an individual. And again, like, there's no judgment if you, you know, need assistance. And you've maximized that genetic potential, but don't feel like it's your, you can't advance without it. So that's just kind of like my two cents. And like, I think being educated about just like what, like how to take care of my body, I think has been super helpful in knowing what avenues I want to go down. So like regularly working with a hormone specialist and, you know, going to my doctor's appointments. I'm making it sound like I take like all kinds of crazy which I do not. But I think like as I've continued to advance in the sport, I've my main point is that I've learned that my overall health is really what's going to help me get to these next levels outside of any type of extra drug. So, if anything, make sure that that foundation is set in place before you ever go in that direction. I think I made a clear point out of that, hopefully.
Yeah, and we were looking at your blood work, leading into going to go pro and things like that. We were addressing estrogen dominance. It is a real thing.
Correct.
That was another
Yes.
question that we got, like, that is estrogen dominance a real thing? Yes, it is. It basically either means that your estrogen's way too high and your progesterone's at a normal level, but your estrogen's skyrocketed, or you could just have relative estrogen dominance where it's low and it's at a normal level with your estrogen, but your progesterone's just ridiculously low. So it's either the direct or the indirect result. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, to get your pro card, we had to make sure you were on a DIM,
Correct.
because you do struggle with lower progesterone and higher estrogen. And that's
Correct.
something, we didn't have to get a prescription estrogen blocker or anything like that, but we did have to address it. So there's just, like, you always want to try to get the low hanging fruit is my point with this.
Yes.
If a doctor says you need an estrogen blocker, then by all means, like, if they prescribe it and they see something where, they say this would be beneficial for your health, then absolutely. But I mean, DIM is just a antioxidant, broccoli, cruciferous vegetable derivative, right? So that was an easier, that was the low hanging fruit with you,
Yes, yes.
So you always want to try to do, it's just like with your cardio and your nutrition. You want to, like, try to cut calories the least amount that you possibly can to get stage lean. You want to do the least amount of cardio. So you really, I mean, you want optimal hormones? 100%
Yes.
yes. And you should be looking into that for your health, but you want to do the least amount that you can to get the most optimal results.
Correct.
So the devil's kind of in the dosing, I guess. But yeah, I mean, that's those were kind of some of the questions that got brought up this week that I think we've addressed most of them. But I just want you to all know that the most important thing is that you're communicating with your coach. And if it you have a personal decision to start, wanting to do some of these items, there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to be open and honest with your coach. Especially don't start doing them without them knowing, because
Yes.
if you're a good coach, they have the resources to do it the right way, where
Yes.
it's doctor monitored, that you're making sure that you're getting the actual thing that you're what you're getting prescribed is compounded in an actual pharmacy and prescribed by an actual doctor, and then your health is most important. So that's kind of all I want to say on that. It's one of those things that we as coaches know enough about the industry and these things that will point you in the right direction, but that we want our athletes to be open and honest about where they are in their journey and to always tap into the natural potential first and exhaust every resource that you can before going that route, because it can be, it's not for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, competing isn't everything. Definitely there's nothing that gets taken away from, you know, doing the elite, you know, prep, you know, making sure that you're hitting all of your points, that you're reaching an elite level by doing the elite things. Like, that's absolutely true. But you also have a body that you have to live in your whole life. So making sure that you just take care of it along the way, I think, is a smart way to approach it.
Yeah, and this will be my last public service announcement. I apologize in advance, but if you have gone down the dry scooping route,
yes,
that would be definitely, I would highly suggest to not ever do that. Not only is it like a choking hazard and things like that, but it can also really affect your heart. If you're dry scooping a pre-workout, having that dose of caffeine in that high of a concentration, you know, you can be at risk for heart attack. And then it can also be very taxing on the kidneys because that dilution of the water, it slowly, you know, goes into the body versus a big burst of the pre-workout all at once in a highly concentrated scoop. So I don't know if you have anything to add on the dry scooping, but I just thought I would mention it because we're kind of talking about those topics that are up.
No, it's absolutely true. Like, it's absorbed differently, whether it's the GI tract or more directly through, like, the just dry scoop in your mouth. So how your body absorbs things, like, people will say, like, certain supplements injected versus orally will affect them differently. So, you know, even how you're taking supplementation for a pre-workout is going to be absorbed and affect your body differently. So just be smart about it. I don't think that there's any reason to have to dry scoop. I think you get the same caffeine benefits from drinking it without the risk. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, and don't let anyone fool you that just because you take a PED from injection versus pill versus liquid, everything's heptic. You know, things that are absorbed in the skin, everything. Heptic means that it's processed through the liver. Everything has to be broken down there. So don't be fooled that there's a certain way that you can take something that would make it not pass through the liver when it comes to those items that are heptic. That's not, there's not like a way around that.
Yeah. So protect your liver as well too. And like, we said, like a healthcare professional, and making sure you communicate with a coach will help you protect, you know, all of those organs, keep things in check, because that gets stressed during a prep in general. So even outside of like PEDs, making sure your organs are operating optimally, I think is important as well.
Yeah. Even if you're taking like a multivitamin, some glutamine, like capsules, whatever it is, it's going through the liver. So even
medication,
like a vegetable pill or whatever. Yeah. I mean, there are things that you take every day. It's just, it burdens the liver. So, and same with like caffeine, like we've talked about this in another podcast, everything gets metabolized there. So, just be very conscious of what, you know, you're putting into your body and making sure that you're taking good care of your health by making sure somebody within their scope of practice is giving you the advice that you need, and not just a prep coach. So.
Perfect.
All right. We'll stop our rant there. if you would like to leave a rating or review, it'd be so appreciated. I really, really appreciate all of you that have, you know, left a review. I know it's difficult. There's a lot of steps on Apple Podcasts. It's not like an easy thing, but it really is appreciated. We try to stay ad-free. I've had offers for ads and things, but I like to turn those down because I want you to have an ad-free experience. And our only payment we ask is that you just leave a rating or review if you found value in it. So please pass it on to a friend. You can tag us in your stories on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini, and you can apply for the team for that unicorn prep at glamgirlbikini.com and hitting the Get Started button to apply. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.